Friends, I want to welcome you on this very special Sunday and ask you to please remain standing for the laying of the wreath and the ode.
They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them, lest we forget.
Well, I would ask you to please remain standing now as we begin our service with the singing of the great hymn, O Worship the King.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Friends, I do want to warmly welcome you here to Scots Church in Melbourne this morning. Welcome too if you're with us online today. The cameras are a little bit further back, but hi to you who are with us via live streaming today, and welcome to you too. If you are new to Scots Church, we'd love it if you would take a moment to fill out one of our introduction cards so we can get to know you better. Welcome to our guest musicians too, who are here for the cantata, as many of our visitors might be too. And also a welcome to our trumpeter, James Lawrence. And the surname may give you a hint that he may or may not be related to some other significant Lawrences who you may know, musically speaking. Our next mission partnership awareness lunch is next Sunday for our regulars. It's immediately after the service next Sunday. We'd love you to stay and find out more about our partnership with the Ramseys in Japan over lunch. I need to welcome Mike Rater next, our guest preacher today. Was that right, or am I out of order with the screen? The election of our managers is underway. Nomination forms are available for our members. Just need to note that. And finally, a warm welcome to our preacher this morning, Reverend Mike Rater, who is always a very welcome voice in our pulpit. Welcome to you, Mike. Bruce is going to bring us our first Bible reading now.
First reading is from Micah, chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and it shall be lifted up above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it. And many nations shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples and shall decide disputes for strong nations far away. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid of the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For the peoples walk each in the name of God, but we walk in the name of the Lord our God for ever and ever. Amen."
Please join with me now in prayer. God of peace and Father of all mankind, on this Remembrance Sunday, we are mindful of our own recent history of war, and daily on our screens, we're reminded that war is never far away. We do long for that day when our weapons of war will be turned into tools of trade, when our swords will be reforged into plowshares. We long for that day when the promise of our Lord Jesus is fulfilled, that wars will be no more, as evil in all its forms is once and for all defeated. A day of no more tears, nor crying, nor pain. Father, we ask that as we long for that day, that by your Spirit, you would shape us to be good ambassadors of your kingdom, that we would be blessed by those around us as peacemakers, that we would bear the likeness of the one to whom we have given our allegiance, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so we pray together for that day in the words that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I'm happy now to hand over to the choir and our musicians for the cantata this morning. Well, what a treat that was, and as if we haven't worked the choir hard enough, you will notice from the order of service that they're going to lead us in verse 1 of the next hymn. During that time, boys and girls, you might like to join the Sunday school teachers at the back and head out for Sunday school. The hymn is as printed, "Christ whose glory fills the skies." Please remain seated for verse 1 that the choir will lead, and then stand and join in verse 2.
Please be seated. Join me in prayer. Let us pray. God of all mercy and grace, we praise and give you thanks for giving us the grace to start anew today. We praise and give thanks for Jesus, for his life, death, and resurrection, and the promise of Jesus' return in glory and power. Help us, your church, to live each day with the anticipation of Christ's return and to focus on his kingdom. Please forgive us for our sins and guide us towards a life that glorifies you. Lord of the church, bless your church in this place, in our city, country, and worldwide, for their missions, visions, and ministries. May it serve a beacon of hope and unity in our increasingly divided world. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, may it bring peace, peace to our homes, our nation, and our world. That you would bless Reverend Mike Reiter as he delivers your word and fill us with joy and willingness to do your will. We thank God for Scott's music ministry led by Douglas Lawrence, and for the Scots choir and the musicians who performed today's cantata with great skill and passion. May the gospel of Jesus Christ be proclaimed to all nations through people's praise, worship, ministry of the word, prayers, and care. And help us to walk in the name of the Lord, our God, forever and ever. Merciful God, we pray for all those suffering from war. We humbly pray for the wars in the Middle East, in Ukraine, Myanmar, and Africa to come to an end. We pray for peace in every corner of the world, for wise solutions of conflicts, and for liberation of those who are being held captive or oppressed. We honor men and women who made the ultimate sacrifice of our country. And we pray that the offering of their lives may not have been in vain. And grant us the grace to dedicate ourselves to the cause of justice, freedom, and peace. And give us the wisdom and courage to build a better world for Christ's honor and glory. And we pray for the sick in our church community. We remember Jacqueline and Jacqueline McGillicuddy battling COVID in aged care. That you would bless her and as well as her twin sister Jill with renewed strength each day and restore them to full health. We pray for those who mourn their loved ones. We remember Paul Bowl on the loss of his mother Charlotte and Greg Hamilton, who lost his brother recently. May the faith in Christ help them to rely the trust and hope in the promise of eternal life for their loved ones. And now, loving God, bless the tithes and offerings we give today. Use every month for further your work, that you would grant wisdom to handle these funds and bless the works of our hands. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Our second reading this morning is from Mark chapter 13, verses 1 to 13. And as he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumours of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues. You will stand before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. May blessings be to all those who hear his word. Amen.
Let's pray. Father, in a world racked by war, please today fill us with joy and hope for that day when, at your command, wars will cease and you'll bring in the reign of peace and righteousness through Jesus. Amen. My wife and I don't go much anymore to the movies. COVID kind of ended that. You'd find us before COVID at the Nova on Lygon Street enjoying a film. But then the pandemic hit and we can't go. I haven't been to the movies with Sarah for 4 years probably. But hey, who needs cinemas? Now, with widescreen TVs in our homes, with Netflix, Paramount, Disney, and all those movies, we can relax in our lounge room, eat our $1 popcorn from Woolies, and enjoy the movie. But there's something about being in a cinema with other people and the vibe of that experience. Years ago, I saw a delightful, low-budget South African film called The Gods Must Be Crazy. You remember that? At the end, we all broke out in applause. It was just delightful. But my most poignant memory was of a film in 1981. Peter Weir's classic, Gallipoli. If you've seen Gallipoli. The story of two young Aussie boys, Archie and Frank, who set off in 1914, full of joy and hope to fight the war. And we see the horrors of trench warfare. And the last scene is etched on my memory, if you recall it. Men have gone over the trenches to be mowed down by the enemy. There's Archie waiting for the call to run and die. Frank gets the word to hold the command. He races to get to the trench to stop them sending him over the trench. He hears the whistle. It's too late. Archie runs like a leopard. And the last scene, and the camera just stops. His head is back, his arms outstretched as bullets pierce his chest. And the camera stays there. Just this still of Archie. And we sat there as a crowd in the cinema. No one moved. No one said a word. It was like an unofficial minute silence. And we walked out quietly and reverently. I've never forgotten it. The film showed us, I think, the paradox of war. It's horror and it's glory. Today we recall Remembrance Day, the 11th hour, 11th day, the 11th month, when the guns stopped firing over the Western Front and stayed silent. Well, for 20 years. Then they roared again across the Western Front and Russia and Africa and Asia, even into America and Australia. It does seem sort of ironical to remember that day today in the midst of a war in the Middle East, which has some scary similarities. As you may know, the start of World War I was almost, you could say, innocuous. A terrorist from the Black Hand Group killed that Austrian Archduke, not a king, just an Archduke. Alliances formed and we were at war. Today, a crisis in the Middle East, a terrible attack by Hamas on innocent people, could lead to alliances forming. Arab states, Iran, Russia, China, America, NATO, Australia. Should that conflict emerge, it would dwarf the suffering of the first two wars. I pray each day it won't happen. What is it about human beings and war? Since 1900, not a year without war. We make great progress in science, technology, medicine, and in designing weapons that kill more quickly, more efficiently, and more widely. 200 million dead. Now that's a statistic. That's 200 million Archies, young men and women, the family who love them. So today we call the paradox of war, which is the paradox of the human being. The most advanced of all species, the most depraved of all species. We produce a Mother Teresa, an Adolf Hitler. We build pyramids in cathedrals and death camps in killing fields. We eradicate smallpox and polio, manufacture mustard gas and anthrax. The horror of war. Yet, paradoxically, there's glory too. In the face of Archie, a brave man who gave his life fictionally, like many did, we can enjoy all the delights of our life today in this great country, Australia. And these men and women would be your, I guess, some your sons, your brothers, fathers, grandfathers. I never knew my grandfather. He died of war wounds. He gave his life so I could live. So today we look back and remember. But today I want you to look forward as well to what God gives us in the future. I don't know what will happen in Gaza, in Ukraine, with Taiwan. But I do know if we can avoid widespread destruction there, as sure as the sun rises tomorrow, there'll be another Ukraine, another Gaza, another Hamas, another Putin, until the day the sun no longer rises. The Old Testament prophets spoke to ancient Israel in a time we're facing devastation in the hands of Assyria. There's irony. Assyria back then embraced today's Syria, Iran, and Iraq. Ancient enemies are still the modern enemies. Israel was facing compromised politically and morally, and facing devastation and destruction. And Micah warned them. He said at the end of chapter 3, "Therefore, because of you, Zion will be plowed like a field. Jerusalem will become a heap of rubble, the temple hill a mound of overgrown thickets." No more Israel, no more Jerusalem, no more temple. They might have turned their thoughts and eyes to another day in the future. You know, there are certain parts of the Bible, I think, which are so majestic. The vision is so glorious and wonderful. It captures the heart of every people, of every nation. It resonates with us. And this picture of a day when wars will cease is breathtaking. And like many Old Testament prophets, the day they spoke of found fulfillment in part in the Lord Jesus. He began to usher in the next age, the end of the age of suffering. Micah spoke of the end of the temple, as did Jesus. Because in him, the true temple had come. He's the place you go to worship and meet God. He said one day to a woman by a well, the day's coming when you will worship God on a mountain or a temple or an altar. No. You'll worship God in spirit and in truth. You see, no more Israel, no more Jerusalem, no more temple. For the true Israel are God's people across the nations and the ages. The heavenly Jerusalem, again, is God's people. We are the temple. God dwells in us. And Micah spoke of a day when all the nations will come to Zion, to the temple. That's happened. Look around you today. This church. Many nations. English, Scottish, Irish, Malay, Indonesian, Singaporean, Egyptian, and many more. We've come to the true temple, to Jesus this morning, fulfilled in him. The day will come, he said, when the word of the Lord will go out from Zion, from us, and it will. The young girl called Lauren Rater, who I know intimately, will go out from us to tell the world in Spain of this great vision. So far as fulfillment in part in Jesus, the last ones go beyond this age to a more distant future. With two wonderful pictures, one of an ending, one of a beginning. First, the end of wars. Now, all Micah's pictures are drawn from the 8th century BC, the world of agriculture. That's not my world. Mine's not the world of plowshares and pruning hooks. I wouldn't know what had hit me in the head. That's not my world. I dream of a day when bombs become barbecues. Kalashnikovs become kitchenware. Weapons of warfare become machines that give life. My dream is not of being under my vine or fig tree. That's not my picture of peace and prosperity. My dream is to sit on my veranda with my ocean view, sipping the fruit of the vine. Or in my lounge with my double shot, extra hot, almond milk latte. That's my picture. That's my vine or fig tree. My picture of peace and prosperity and joy. With the unsullied love of all my brothers and sisters. Never scared to switch on the TV lest I hear the news. Putin has dropped the bomb. China's begun the ground assault. Iran has joined the war. Because no one will be there to make us afraid anymore. This isn't pie in the sky when we die. This isn't fables and fairy tales. Because Jesus came. And for 3 years gave us a picture of what life would be like one day when he raised the dead. Calm storms brought peace. And by his death and resurrection blasted a trumpet sound that the reign of sin and death was now over and a new age was the beginning. An age of peace and righteousness. And it begins with us, his people. So today we remember past and present wars. The sober reminder of how our world needs so desperately the Prince of Peace. Many thanks for men and women who gave their lives so we could enjoy the peace of this time and place. We keep on praying for peace in our world and right now in the Middle East. And let's resolve, in the last words of Micah, to walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever, until the day the sun rises in the eternal kingdom. Amen. Let's stand and sing Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Well, friends, there's been much to be encouraged by in the last 60 minutes we've spent together. I hope you have found it a great morning here at Scott's. Please do join us for morning tea in the Westpac building afterwards. Big thank you to our choir, our musicians, for the way they've served us today, and to our preacher, Mike Rater. And now may grace, mercy, and the true peace that passes all understanding be upon us and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.